I do feel like God has something specifically for us. One of the things when I was asking the Lord about, specifically about what this was about, I really felt in my heart that it was important that we know this isn't just a meeting that's meeting in an upper room, that this is something that's going to have, it's going to reverberate into the region, okay? And, you know, I know it's already begun yesterday. I know what Nancy Schneider shared yesterday, and then the others. I really believe there are things that have already been declared in the Spirit. Angels are already on assignment. Things are shifting. This was a convergence. This is a convergence because I have been in a season of prayer wilderness, and sometimes I fail in that wilderness. Sometimes my prayer life is dead. And I'm going to tell on myself today, okay? Because maybe that'll encourage you. Maybe you'll feel better about yourself after you hear me. I don't know. I just want to be raw. I was thinking about, you know, it's the raw foods they're telling you to eat nowadays because they got the most nutrition. So I feel like if we can just be raw with each other, it's going to be the most nutritious, okay? No more fake plastic stuff. We're just going to get real, right? Authentic. We need something organic and alive. The things that are raw are the things that are living. That's why they say, don't eat the food that's been processed because it's dead. Eat the food that's raw. You know, the cow is still mooing there. You know, there's something alive in that. I'm a growing fan of raw meat. This is not at all what I'm speaking on, but I just want to say this is a convergence. And if we don't think of it that way, we're going to miss something. If we don't believe that what happens here, listen, I believe that God created, not the church building, He created a people that are called the ecclesia. They are a governing and a ruling council. And so, unless we understand who we are, we won't know our responsibility, right? And so we have a responsibility, not just to be here. You have been summoned here. You might have thought that somebody invited you, but no, you were summoned here because God's saying you are a part of the ecclesia and you have a governmental role to play in this region. In the scriptures, God would say, hey, there's the church of, you know, Ephesus. There's the church of Colossus. There's a church of, what is Corinthian? Was it the Corinth? Forgot about that. Anyway. It's the church of these places. Why? Because they had a rulership. They had a, and I don't want to get off, I'm not saying they were the king. They were given boundaries. And God said, hey, there are regions, and I identify your authority by the region. Amen? I identify and I recognize who my ecclesia is by the region that they're in. So we have, being a part of, I'm so thankful Derek called this the Central Illinois Prayer Summit instead of only the Peoria Prayer Summit. Because I was like, oh, we're included. Yes, we made it. We are in. Lincoln, you are in. We get some Lincoln folk here, okay? We got Springfield, anybody? Springfield, woo! Man, we got Morton. Yeah, all right. Man, we have a responsibility to know who we are. God's given us a mandate. So in other words, all of a sudden it needs to hit us that we have children in this region. So if, you know, when we became parents, Kelly and I, all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, this is going to be a lifelong responsibility. Everything changed. Parents, amen. Everything changes. I want to say everything has to change when we realize we have become responsible for a region. Now, we can't control anything. Hello? We are not God. However, He's appointed and anointed and given us authority in this region to make decisions, decrees, and to affect the atmosphere, the environment, the culture, everything. Do we get that? Do we understand that? We are not going to rule fully until Christ comes. We understand that. But we have a mandate to occupy until he comes. We need to hold our ground and say, we're standing, and after everything we've done, we're standing. I don't care if he falls to my right and they fall to my left. I've got to stand. That's our command. That is our appointment. We stand. Amen? Peoria, Derek, praise God that you're just standing here. I mean, I've come to prayer meetings and there's only a few people. The responsibility has not changed. It's only now dwindling down to a few people that are recognizing it. I just want to say that again. Unless we're praying, it's partly we just don't know that we have the responsibility. We don't know who we are as the ecclesia. We don't know that when we pray together, things are going to shift. That's not what I'm talking about today either, but I did want us to know that. That's why we're here. In fact, I want to pray that. Can we just, even before I get into the message, can we just like stand up and pray real quick? Lou Engle does this sometimes. He used to bother me. I'm like, I just got comfortable. But he taught me something. He's like, stay engaged. Stay engaged. When the Spirit says start, stand up and pray, the ecclesia, we got to stand up and pray. We got to come together and unify. Let's pray for our region, okay? Father, let's lift up our voice. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray whatever God gives you. Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we are here. We believe that you have summoned us here by your grace. It is our joy, Lord, to be known as your people, to be known as the ecclesia. And we receive your authority in Jesus Christ, that we recognize out of Colossians that we are complete in him who is the head over all principality and power, that we are the ecclesia in Central Illinois, and that you have given us an anointing, God, to shift things for our region. And that even now we believe that heaven is on assignment for Central Illinois, that God, you're going to begin to pour out and do a move of God that we've been longing and waiting for and calling out for decades. We believe it now, and we pray it, and we declare it and decree it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Sit down. So, let me just put it to you this way. Just so you know, I don't like when I share things that God does in my life without telling you that God is and does and will do the same exact things in your life. Okay? So this has nothing to do with me. I tell things that God does in me because I'm finding out who I am more and more in Jesus. Are you finding out who you are in Christ? Because God wants us to. He's appointed us to know who we are in him and who he is in us. And the Bible says that we all, there's many members, but we all have a different part, a different function. Amen? And it's important that we all recognize what that is. And we don't have to strive for that. We just begin to ask, and the closer we walk with the Lord, the more he begins to show us. Here is predominantly how you function in the body. This is a way, it's not your only way, but this is a way that I'm going to use you predominantly or often, or I'm going to manifest myself to you in this gifting in this way. This is important that you get this, because this is a part of Christ in you. I cannot do what Tyler and Joe and Claire just did. This is Claire. I cannot do what they just did today because God's appointed them to do it. They have an anointing for it. It's an aspect of who Christ is in them. Amen? But the reason I share that is because I want to tell you one thing that God has told me, and I've started to realize it more and more, is a prophetic anointing for understanding times and seasons. And it doesn't mean I know everything about a time and a season. It doesn't mean I even understand what I get. But God's slowly starting to make me realize that like Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, that they understood signs and seasons and times, and they knew what Israel should do in those seasons. Just as real random, God took me on a whirlwind of Issachar. And one day I was driving and I got a text from a number that was literally it was a telemarketer. And I was like, why is a telemarketer texting me? They never text me, they call me. And the text was WAR 515. That was my text. WAR in capital letters, 515. Like, that's really odd for a telemarketer of some sort to send this to me. But then the Holy Spirit instantly says, Andrew, aren't you weird enough by now to understand this is me? You got to be kind of weird. You got to know, like, God's going to speak to you in weird ways. Right, Josh Schilling? If you were here last night, I love that story, man. I got to hear that one again. Anyway. I saw Issachar 515. No, I didn't. I saw WAR 515. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to go to my book of WAR in Judges. I said, oh, okay, Judges. And he said, go to 515. And in that scripture, it says that the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. And see, it's interesting because in the book of Chronicles, when it talks about the sons of Issachar, it actually says that there were only 200 of them, but all of their brethren were at their command. So the Issachar had command because it was important for the people to know the time and the season and if it's the right time to go to war or do we stay home or how are we going to go fight this battle? Should we do an ambush attack or should we do a full-on, you know, head first? I don't know what you call it, but you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is Judges 515 had to do with Issachar was saying, basically, essentially, I believe God was shouting, they were giving the okay that they were with Deborah saying, we are with you. It is the time. It is the season to go to war. They were with him and it brought confidence to the whole company. And they receive victory. You can read that on your own. Why am I saying all this? Because I believe God has given me a picture of what happens from time to time. He'll give me dreams. He'll encounter me in certain ways. And he starts to say, what I'm telling you, Andrew, is a shift in a season. And I don't always get it. So I'm just telling you, the Bible says we know in part. We prophesy in part. I think I have a part of that part of that part. I just feel like, this is what I want to say that God is declaring to me, and I can't get away from it. In fact, I feel like Jeremiah, I had a lady recently prophesy to me, and she said, you're called to be like Jeremiah, who has the word of God in him like a fire shut up in his bones. And in the context of that scripture, Jeremiah says, even when I try to get away from that word, I cannot. It's in me, shut up in me, like a fire in my bones. Paraphrase it. Amen. I can't get away from what God's saying to me in this season, and so I have to tell you what he's saying in this season, because I believe when God says, this is what season and time it is on my calendar, here is what one thing I'm doing. Here's one thing I'm doing, and I want you to know what I'm doing so that you can understand the context of what you're walking to and what it is unto. Amen. So I had a dream at the very beginning of the year, and in 2017, and it was this. You have to understand dreamers. How many of you guys are dreamers in here? When you know that God speaks to you in dreams, and I'm not saying that you take every dream and just swallow it whole and you're just running off. We weigh our dreams, right? We weigh our revelation with the word. We test things. But when you predominantly have a history of God speaking to you in dreams, you start to realize that the Bible and the dream carry similar weight in the sense that this is God's word. One time I had a pastor say, Andrew, this dream stuff that you're on, that's going to get you into trouble. And I might have been a little smart out there. I wasn't trying to be, honestly. And I felt like it was the Holy Spirit say, well, actually, I'm so glad that Joseph, Jesus' father, obeyed a dream to get him out of where he was to send him to Egypt. Otherwise, Christ would have been aborted. How many times are we aborting Christ by not listening to our dreams? How many times are we quenching what God wants to say? And I'm starting to realize, and Tracy was in here, I don't know where she's at. Tracy, she gets scary dreams. I mean, she gets dreams, and I'm like, whenever she has a dream, I'm like, God is up to something. We know she knows God's saying something. I'm like, I can't get away from a dream. And so recently I had this dream in January. It was this. Basically, in the dream, the Lord says, now is the time. And I recognize, because this is how God has done it over and over, is when in the dream it says, now is the time, I'm realizing we're about to enter. He's giving me a template to say, here's the season that you're going to be walking in, and here is a piece of what I'm going to be doing in you, but also into the body of Christ. In the dream, I knew it was for the body of Christ because it was being proclaimed to a large body of believers, okay? And in the dream, this is what was said. Now is the time that Paul's prayer from Philippians 1:9 must be answered. I did not know in the dream what Philippians 1:9 was. You guys want to go there with me? If you got a Bible? Let's go to Philippians 1:9. How long do I have today? Okay, it says this, at least in my version, New King James says, and this I pray. This is Paul. And this I pray. I thought that was cool. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. I'll go on to verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here's what I want to say, though, is he said, now is the time that Paul's prayer must be answered from Philippians 1:9. That our love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. I'll be honest. When I've heard messages preached on love, I usually start to tune out. I told you I'm just going to be raw. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. And my guess is maybe you do too. Because I think we're overfamiliar with the word. And so we kind of have this automatic button like, oh, I have that. I already understand love. But here's what the Lord began to show me is that I don't know love as I ought to know love. And he began to show me that the body of Christ doesn't know love as they ought to know love. And specifically, he told me the reason that prayer is faltering and dying out is because there is a deficiency of love. In fact, he told me, Andrew, honestly, hear this. I was asking God, I said, God, I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to be before you in prayer. I know I'm supposed to be in worship. I know I got to get there. Why can't I? This sounds foolish, I know, but I'm going to be a fool today, all right? I'm going to be open and real so this can help some of us. I mean, I beat myself up. Maybe you do too, that you haven't been in the word or in prayer. You feel condemnation and shame and, Derek's holding another prayer meeting. I'm dying. What is this? I'm like, okay, I'll go put on my show of prayer. But my worship is really going to be Netflix. I'm not very spiritual. I'm growing. But I'm telling you where the things that I struggle with and the things I wrestle with. I just want to be real and say God has showed me. I've been asking over and over, God, why can't I pray? Why can't I pray? I'm like, I need more fire. I need more zeal. I'm like, I am so burnt out. I'm done. I'm done. That was a good starting place for me. I'm done. Amen. Preach. That preaches, doesn't it? We're done. We give up. We have nothing. We can do nothing anymore. So I remember when IHOP, years ago when I used to listen to the prayer, when I first started listening to some of the prayers they were praying or the messages they were speaking, I remember one thing they used to say all the time, and I thought it was really cool, but how true it is. They used to say, just shut it all down. In fact, if you ever listened to Corey Russell, he was really known for saying, just shut it all down. Your programs, your ministry, you're going here and there and there. Just shut it down. Come back. Get intimacy. Get Jesus. Pray. Just pray. Well, I want to say today, I believe God's calling us to shut it all down where it concerns everything but walking in the more excellent way, which is love. Amen. I know that I understand where, because I've been dealing with this. I know when I say the word love, it's still going, whew. It's still not being received the way I know God's been teaching me. But we're going to get there tonight because the Holy Spirit is going to cause us to receive what he's saying. I get mad at the word love. I get mad at the word love because I think I have it and I'm supposed to know it, and we're Christians. Of course we love. Amen? Of course. Then why do I not burn with it, God? I am broke. I don't have love as I ought to have love. The body of Christ does not have love as we ought to have love. The word, when it says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. The word knowledge there, it actually is not, it's a different word in the Greek than just gaining intellectual knowledge. It's actually knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. It's actually what it means. Knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. Discernment has to do, what does it look like in certain circumstances? So I was asking God, I said, Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing with me in this season. I have this dream. Now is the time where Paul's prayer in Philippians 1:9 must be answered, that your love may abound still more and more. Can I just tell you, I started to do some searching on love. I'm like, wow. I mean, Paul was pretty brutal. Not brutal. He was like really over the top on this issue of love. It seems like he really, really overdid it when he talked about love. I'm like, am I missing something? You just had to say it once, Paul. We need love. We get it. No. There is a place of love, God is saying, that must abound more and more. And you can't get more and more in love unless you have the knowledge that this is scripture, firsthand relationship with it. And then you have all discernment, knowing how that love is released and used and operates in specific situations. Does that make sense? So, this has been a tough season for me. And I realize that God's showing me that I don't have the love that I need to have. And I don't think that God's going to leave us alone. Amen. He is going to bring us into the fulfillment of Paul's prayer, where our love is abounding still more and more. Because he says, unless it goes there, in the day of Jesus Christ, we will have offense still left in us. If our love goes, if Paul's prayer in Philippians 1:9 goes to where he's praying, then in the day of Jesus Christ, we will be blameless without offense. Tell that to the church today. Tell them that you need to be right now blameless and without offense. That's not going to happen until the love of God abounds still more and more and more. And that love is bringing us into oneness with Christ Jesus. See, the purpose of love is to make us like Jesus. Amen? If we don't have love, we are nothing. This prayer room is nothing without love. What does that mean? Does that mean we need to have some nice sensual songs that make us feel like lovey? No, 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 no. Unless we, by knowledge that the Scripture speaks of, first-hand relationship with this God of love, unless we have that beginning to be burned on our heart and receiving it over and over, we will not have the type of love where God says this is worth anything. Because honestly, you know what the Lord told me? He said, love will take you. He said this, prayer will only go to the place that love takes you. Prayer will only go to the place that love takes you. You ever get ticked off at somebody and start holding a kind of secret grudge? Try praying for them. Why is it difficult to do this? Why is it difficult to pray for those in authority who we have just blasted for 2 years? Yeah, I know, sorry. Why is it tough to do this? Because unless love takes us there, our prayers are not going there. Amen? Unless our love takes us to the homosexuals, our prayer is not going there. We can give flippancy and trite prayers, but the authority that breaks the yoke comes by reason of our love. The Bible says that faith comes by love. It works by love. Apart from faith, we can do nothing. The key that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit is faith, but faith will not work unless love is brooding in our hearts. Amen? Can I share a couple things? Is Derek in here? Sorry, bro. If you're busy, you do your thing. You can hear me. I feel in my heart. You know what? Bro, you go sit down for a minute. You do what you're doing. Do whatever you want to do. I'm going to call you back up in a minute. Because I believe I have a prophetic word for Peoria, Illinois. But we're going to deal with this love thing first, okay? Recently, the Lord began to show me, Andrew, the reason you can't pray the way that you once have been able to pray, and especially in secret. Secret prayer is, honestly, well, it's hard. Prayer's hard in general, but let's be honest, secret prayer is hard. Because there's no fanfare that comes with it. There's no one that gets to applaud anything of you, right? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be together. We should. I'm just uncovering what motives can be lurking in our hearts sometimes, is that I will be the first to admit I have lived off of corporate prayer, gone back home, and have been void of love, of fire, of prayer. What's up? Maybe I might be preaching to nobody here, but I feel like maybe this is to somebody. Amen? Why is that? I feel like God's saying he's being really kind with me. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Amen? He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He is not. And honestly, that was what I was afraid of. Oh, Lord. I am so, I'm weary, I'm dry, I'm hurting, what's going on? And God's like, you just need my love. You need my love again. And I'm like, well, how did I get to this place? I thought I had it. And I believe the Lord has been telling me, no, son, you have to view the cross to get my love again. Can I just say this? The agape love of God is found nowhere else except the cross. Nowhere else. There's no other definition, no other view of it. There's no other origination of it in the sense of what we have as an example. In fact, the scripture says that God demonstrates his love in this, that we who are still sinners, he came, Christ came and died for us. That was his demonstration of love. So when that becomes his demonstration, he says, this is ground zero for what my love looks like. Everything outside of that falls short. Amen? Our love has to back all the way back up to Christ, all the way back up into the cross. The love that God is, that Paul is saying, I want your love to abound more and more. It's not going to abound more and more. By working it up, it's going to be abounding more and more when the cross of Christ is ours to bear. If that makes sense. Sorry if I'm yelling. I don't know how loud I get. This could be loud. I had a really happy dream the other day. Well, before that, let me say this. Recently, I had a dream, and in the dream, I walked and I saw some people I used to know from high school, and I went up to say, hey, how are you guys? I ran after them. I went to go shake their hand, and they totally dissed me in the dream. They were like, pfft. I mean, it was totally like, you know, one of those dreams where they're like way over the top. They're like, pfft. They're like, pfft. And I was like, insult, man. But in the dream, I was so glad that I reacted this way. I said, oh, well, God bless you then. And I turned and walked away. And then I saw a group of gang members. And, you know, I kind of was just like, you know, what's up? And they're like, and they just started mocking me and taunting me. And then I walk on and I said a very profound statement. I'm going to need a whole lot more love. That was my dream. And I'm starting to realize the Lord wants us to be prepared for what's ahead. And what is ahead is going to take us out unless our love is abounding still more and more. I mean, it's already almost taking us out. Let's be honest. I'll be honest that I am weary of church splits. I've walked through a lot. Some of you guys have too. Some of you guys have walked through a lot of broken relationships, a lot of like, we start so good and we end so badly. And I can't handle it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. Because it feels fake and plastic. The show must go on. I got a word, I believe, that God's saying, shut it all down. Because his heart is still grieving over broken wounds in Peoria and in Bloomington and in Lincoln and Central Illinois. Because part of his heart got broken. Do you know that psychologically and scientifically that they say at the point of trauma or injury that you emotionally never mature past the place of trauma or injury? And the Lord downloaded this to me as I was praying, and he said, do you know why prayer has not matured in Central Illinois? And I said, no. And he said, because injury hasn't been dealt with by my love. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that means really, God. And I felt like God said, you're going to go on a journey and we're going to find this. We're going to find out what it means because we got to get there. I don't believe that our prayer can take us. Our prophecies are high. Prayer brings prophecy into the now. But prayer can't get to the prophecy without love fueling it. Maybe. What do you guys think about that? I want to tell us, I believe God's heart is crying. It's not because he's hopeless or he's in despair. Amen? This is not a message of, oh no, we got to go back up and dig up dirt from the past. Ah! No. This is about learning love must conquer. Love must triumph. Love must cover over a multitude of sin. Can I read you something? No, let me just tell you where I'm at. And I'm not saying as a pity thing for me. I'm saying this because I understand that many of you have walked through this as well. You start going after God. Actually, let me say this, okay? This, Derek, come here. You need to hear this because I know you read this. I know I shared a word about witchcraft. I was driving. This is around December. I was driving on the highway, and I heard the Lord say to me, you've been delayed. And I knew the call on my life. I knew the call on my life is to raise up prayer. Call on my life is to be a revivalist. And part of doing that is prayer, you know. And I knew the house of prayer is key to what God had called me to. But he said, you've been delayed, Andrew. And the voice came to me as I'm driving in the country. And I said, oh my goodness, am I hearing things or is this you, God? And I said, Lord, if this is you, you must confirm that this is true. And show me the key to break the delay. Well, about 5 minutes later, I get a phone call from Kelly, and she says, and we've not talked about delay at all. This is an original thought that came by the Holy Spirit in that moment. And 5 minutes later, Kelly calls and says, oh, Andrew, I forgot to tell you that last night I had a dream, and in the dream, we were in a prayer meeting in a prayer room in Peoria, Illinois. I didn't mention this to you. But I'm going somewhere with it. And she said, in the prayer room, there was a witch there. In your prayer room. And she said, we were all there. We were all there. And she said, in the dream, the witch looked at Kelly, and said, I'm the one who's delaying you. And then in the dream, Kelly knew, I need to drive her out. And I began to pray, and I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what is this? And can I give you some insight of what I feel like God might be saying? I believe, why were we over here? Well, because I think this might have something significant to do with right now. I believe the goal of witchcraft, according to Galatians, was, Paul said, who has bewitched you that you no longer obey the Lord? I believe that witchcraft doesn't have to mean it's always a witch with a hat in the back corner doing something, but the enemy, however, in whatever medium, whatever source he is using, demonic assignments, you know, whatever that is, witchcraft itself, I believe, ultimately is to bring the heart down to a place where we no longer obey the Lord. And I felt like God said, test scripture with scripture. Obedience to the Lord is evidence of love. 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 And the Lord began to show me, witchcraft will find any room it can in your heart to begin to twist things, to begin to taunt you, so that you will become embittered, you'll become envious, you'll become jealous, you'll become angry, and all that it's doing along the way is hardening your heart. And eventually we come to a point where we no longer can hear the Lord. And if we do hear him, we can't really follow through. We don't obey because love has dried up. Love's gotten cold. This love of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I believe God's giving us a key, and I'm going somewhere with this, Derek. I really believe that Peoria is key. I listened to a message you said the other day. You said, all the speakers, why don't you listen to what I've been sharing? I don't remember the title of the message. What was it? It was like, what you're dreaming for Peoria. Yes. What you're dreaming for Peoria. There was a word and there was something you said in there. I already knew that Lord was going to call me to speak this. But there was something in there. You said, I believe Peoria will become, forgive me if I'm total paraphrase, basically, essentially, a birthing or a prototype or a launching pad, so to speak, of God's going to do something so unique here. It's going to spread to the nation and spread to the nations of the earth. And it's going to have to do with unity. Do you remember that? When you said that, I said, that is it. That is a call on Peoria. That is a specific mandate on Peoria, Illinois. But it can't be had just by let's come together. Fa-la-la. No, it's unity of the Spirit. It's nowhere to be found outside of Christ. Nowhere to be found outside of the love of God. And witchcraft has to be driven out of our own hearts and out of the church that's driven us to rebellion and hardness of heart. Where by an accumulation of offense and bitterness and whatever, we've somehow forgotten what love is. Are we okay? I'm still going somewhere with Peoria. It's a pretty profound dream. But before I get there, let me share this. You guys okay? All right. By the way, Derek, this prayer room should be on fire. My prayer room should be on fire. My house should be on fire. Love is a vehement fire that many waters cannot quench. Unless we've somehow been duped and deceived and led astray of somehow, and we have become hardened in heart and our love no longer pumps like Christ's love pumped. Lord told me God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I said, well, was it obedience or submission or grace or faith that drove Jesus to go take the cross? And I felt like God said, it's none of the above. It's love drove him to the cross. It was my love that gave him up. It was my love that drove him. And we are not going to be driving in prayer and driving forward and obtaining prophecy without the same measure of love burning and calling us forward. Our prayers will not extend our love. Let's see. Where is it at? Lou Engle says this. He said, Moses had a burning bush, but I had a burning book. So can I tell you what happened to me recently as I was walking out? If you need to go sit down there, Derek, do what you need to do. I'll call you back up here now. Lou said, I had a burning book. Can I tell you, I had a burning book episode that happened to me the other day. I was like, Lord, I am in a furnace of affliction and fire. It stinks. Get me out. I'm mad at everybody. And I really was really mad at everybody. Kelly knows, and she's laughing at me now. Because I told her I was mad at everybody. Mad. And I thought I was nice, but I was mad. So I'm on the shelf. I'm just going through. I'm like, something's got to, there's got to be a book here. I need answers, God, help. And all of a sudden, I find a book on my shelf that I've never seen before. I don't know where it came from. It's called Lessons from the Furnace. God's Keys for Making Overcomers. Written in the 70s. First page I opened to. You want to hear it? After the next year, though, we strangely began to feel the heat again. The furnace was not any hotter, but it was starting to get to us more. The attacks were getting under our skins, and we began to swelter. I went to my office. This guy's name is Bob Heel. I don't know who he is, but he's got good things to say here. I went to my office, my usual place of prayer, to ask the Lord what was wrong. I really did not understand. Lord, I prayed, we are handing you our problems. But now they are getting to us again. We are feeling the burden. What has gone wrong? The familiar voice of the Father spoke within me and said, my son, you have not forgiven them completely. I was shocked. I said, God, we forgive, of course. We forgive them. Yes, you forgive them, but the reason you are feeling this heaviness is because your forgiveness is not complete. I said, then Lord, you will have to teach me how to forgive completely. I am willing to do it. So it was that over the next few weeks, God taught me what he meant by forgiveness, a lesson that was to forever protect me from all attacks of man. Can I go on? Okay. The Lord said, I want you to come before me as a king, coming before the King of Kings, and officially pronounce them forgiven. I want it to be a definite act. I do not want you just to say I forgive them if I happen to ask you. So he went in and he officially decreed forgiveness over those people. And he named them. He went through every person that he could think of and just officially forgave them. And he said when he finished, he felt much lifting in his heart, but there was still pressure there. A beautiful cleansing had taken place. I felt almost perfect, but not quite. In a few days, I realized my peace had not completely returned, so I returned to my office for prayer. Again, the Lord showed me my heart. I was overwhelmed to find that the problem was still in the area of forgiveness. Though I had officially forgiven them before him, my heart still cried, "You must pay." I realized that in the recesses of my heart, I was holding a stack of IOUs against these people. And I would not let them go until at least they knew how they had hurt me. God said, Bob, if you want peace, you must let them go. It took a long time that night to go person by person, IOU by IOU, and release them, tearing up the IOUs. But for each one, I felt a heaviness breaking up inside of me. When I had finished, I felt so greatly relieved that the burden seemed gone. I felt almost perfect. But not quite. Once again, in a few days, I realized I still did not have the complete peace I had known before. I was baffled. Surely now my forgiveness was perfected. But again, as I prayed in my office, God said, Bob, you have not forgiven them completely. I was speechless. Had no idea what he was talking about. I do not know about you, but I know about many. They have lost their peace because they have not forgiven completely. They are awake nights, not so much because of what others have done to them, but because of what they are harboring in their hearts. They have left a residue of animosity. We often think we have forgiven when we do not even really understand God's meaning of the word. I still did not understand. I said, God, how can there be more? You will have to show me. He said, my son, you must forget everything they have done. But God, that is impossible. I cannot. It is a historical fact that these things have happened. They are stored in my gray matter. God said, I have a better memory than you have, yet I forget your sins. That's a good word. Then he said something I'll never forget. He said, Bob, your will is greater than your memory. You will forget them if you will to forget them. I understood then that I had to renounce those memories just as strongly as I would renounce any demon. The passage shot through my mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Once again, I found myself standing before the altar. One by one, I renounced. This isn't much longer, but can I keep going? Once again, I found myself standing before the altar. One by one, I renounced the memories and asked forgiveness for having hung on to them for so long. It took a while, but I felt freer and more wonderful than I had in a long time. Almost perfect, but not quite. A few days later, the nagging thought came that all was not well. I was amazed. I said, God, I have forgiven them. Surely it's taken care of. I've done it officially. I've torn up the IOUs. I've renounced the memories. What is wrong? I don't understand. There were the words, you have not forgiven them completely. No, that is impossible. Surely my forgiveness is complete. Gently the Lord said, how do you feel when you see one of them walk into the church on Sunday? I had to admit, I would feel, oh no, here comes one of them now. I had taken care of the specific sins, but I was nurturing some very negative, generalized feelings about those people. I marched in before the altar. I had to ask forgiveness and renounce those feelings person by person. When I was done, I felt clean and wonderful. I began a little dance around the chapel, but again, it was still not quite perfect. After some days, I realized that all was not well. I sought the Lord. I wanted perfect peace. I wondered what other areas of sin the Lord could be dealing with. The words came again. You have not forgiven them completely. How could this be? Surely the lesson was over. The Lord began to reveal to me the last thing that was needed to make my forgiveness complete. I had no idea what he meant, but I knew enough to listen. He said, you must look on them with eyes of compassion. You must not see them as they are, but as they can be. I did not see Mary Magdalene as a woman possessed of seven demons. I saw her as the beautiful Mary Magdalene to be. It was that look that drew her and so many other sinners to me. I had compassion on them. And that is the way I want your heart to look at them. With compassion, not with eyes that see their sin. I said, oh God, help me to see them that way. Give me those eyes. Give me your eyes daily. And gradually it happened. I read that, began to weep, realized my love was a little deficient. And I realized that I needed God's love before I could even get to the place of forgiving. Amen? I mean, in my mind, I can't tell you how the enemy works. Well, you know, once I start talking, you'll be like, yeah, he does work that way. I began to think about people and things that happened to me 10 and 12 years ago. Like it's now. All of a sudden, screaming at me. And I'm like, what is this? And God's saying, I am trying to get you to a place, Andrew, where you begin to embrace the cross and my love can flow again. Because the cross, I want to say again, is the only place that love abounds still more and more. You will not find love without the cross. I just began to think this. I began to think, and I've heard somebody say this before. In fact, it was Dan Moeller, something or other. He said, I found over time counseling that oftentimes couples will come into my counseling office and they're solid Christians. And he said that the spouse that cheated on the other spouse becomes, in a way, in other words, we feel so bad and pity the person that was cheated on, right? Because it was wrong what the other person did. Amen? We know that. It was wrong that the other person, the other spouse. But he said something that got me. He said, why don't we look at that situation and say, oh my goodness, they are a Christian. Something is broken here. Something is broken here. And our heart begins to go out to them and say, see, our prayers can follow that. What our prayers will not follow is, I can't believe this Christian calling himself a man of God would go out and cheat on his... I can't believe that brother or sister who calls himself a Christian would treat me such a way. I can't believe... It goes on, it goes on, it goes on. And God's saying, you've lost the revelation of what my love is for and where it goes and how it gets there. You're going to have to die. I'm going to have to die, guys. You're going to have to die. Lou Engle, God called him to pray for California and fast 40 days. And Lou said, God, I'm afraid I'm going to die. And Lou said, do you love California? He said, yeah, I love California. Do you love it enough to die for it? Can I tell you that the type of prayer movement that I believe God is going to begin to raise up is one who knows the love of God that abounds more and more, where we begin to say, I'm willing to die for the city I'm in because I stand here with Christ. I've been crucified with him. If I die, I die. If I live, it's unto Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? We got to begin to say, I am willing to die for a people I don't know, but because Jesus died for me and his blood speaks for them, I dare not condemn them. I dare not begin to judge them. I must come in here and die in the place of intercession. That's what love looks like. That's what the prayer movement needs in this hour, is love that's abounding still more and more. We will not move in the type of authority and power in prayer without the backbone of love. Amen. And I am preaching to myself. Because I am deficient. But he's not. Amen? And can I tell you, here's something that's cool. People will say, well, I'm in Christ, so of course I have all the love I need. That is true. But there's a paradox here, okay? We are fully alive in him. We are fully made perfect in the Spirit. We are seated with him. We have all blessing in the spiritual, in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. But to get that from there to here requires faith. Step and stand by stand, and sometimes we fall down, but the righteous who fall seven times, they just keep getting back up, and more by grace. See, the Bible says that we access grace through faith. All the graces of who we are already in Christ are not obtained just simply by stating, well, I'm fully alive in Jesus. No, no, no. They are obtained only by faith, and faith is step by step, day by day. It's substantive. It means when you, Kelly, when you do something that makes me mad, it means right then and there, I have to, by faith, realize this is going to hurt. I'm going to die under it. By the way, don't say if I've done this well or not, but just go with me. And I humbly receive and bow my heart. Do you get what I'm saying? It's step by step, moment by moment. Man, can I tell you that Peoria, Illinois, you guys have been my heroes. I mean, the whole church. I'm not just talking about just here. But many of you are my heroes. Derek, where you at? Come back in here now, man. Okay. Now I want to get... I want to get to where we need to go, okay? Oh, man, it's three. All right. I'm going to move into the prophetic word. Many of my heroes are in Peoria. When Peoria began to fast for 40 days and the churches began to unify, I'm thinking, where does this happen? It doesn't happen unless maybe you're in Africa. I don't know. I don't hear of this ever, where a city comes together. And I believe that there was a supernatural grace released to the whole region. I mean, prayer was like, you wanted to go jump in the river, you go to Peoria in that season. You want to find an encounter with God, go to Peoria. Much of it was in this place, the garage. You want a touch from God? Get to Peoria. In fact, I would tell Kelly this. Bear witness with me on this. You know this. before I met Kelly, I had cousins over here. And I would come over to Peoria, and every time I would come over to Peoria, I was like, there's something in the spirit. I didn't even know. I was a little boy. I don't even know how to explain it, but I was like, I feel God in this city. You remember me saying that? Like, something would be coming alive and resonating in me when I would cross over the bridge and the river. You know what's amazing is before I even understood who I really was and some of the call and the gifting on my life, I had a prophet guy from Peoria at a meeting that was in another state come up to me. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea who he was, and I don't think he knew who I was. He said, son, you are going to have a voice in Peoria, Illinois. Well, that's all I'm coming here to do right now, is just be a voice for Peoria, Illinois. You've championed us on in Bloomington. I'm releasing this word, not as a condemnation that, oh, we lack in love. No, it's because I believe God is presenting before us a key that's going to begin to launch Peoria into its destiny. It's going to break the power that witchcraft has had over hearts and over the prayer movement, because prayer, you have seen it, you felt it, prayer has been hindered. Amen. Intercession is going to launch Peoria into the anointing and the destiny is called for. City streets are going to be swept up in revival and awakening. Lost are going to begin to come in droves. It is coming. But love is going to begin to turn the key of destiny for Peoria, Illinois. And let me tell you, in the fall, here's what happened. In the fall, I had a dream. In the dream, I'm in the clouds. And I hadn't had any contact with Peoria, you guys, in a while. I'm in the clouds. And all of a sudden, Dutch Sheets comes to me. You guys know who Dutch Sheets is? He's known for intercessory prayer or the appeal to heaven. He comes to me. And then all I know is that we are about to conduct a strategy meeting for the nation. That there's something that we are going to strategize and come up with that's for the nation. So in the dream, guess what? I find myself walking in the clouds, and we're meeting in the clouds. Guess who shows up? Lou Engle, a man named Will Ford, and a man named Damon Thompson. And then in the dream, the scene shifts, and I see us. Guess where we're at? We're in the clouds above the big bridge in Peoria, Illinois. I say, all right, God, that's the dream. What are you saying? And I believe that dreams and prophetic words sometimes have depth of meaning to them. They can be for one group of people and mean one thing that God intends it to mean, and then for the region itself, it means something, okay? I believe that Peoria... Let me tell you what I found. You ready for this? You guys can all say it. We've been saying it all weekend. If it plays in Peoria, it plays anywhere. I thought about that. I was like, if it plays here, it plays anywhere. I was like, Peoria, you guys are guinea pigs. That's what this is. God is just going to experiment on Peoria and say, if this thing works there, it'll shoot out all over the earth. I believe that's what God's saying. I believe your heart cry that unity, unity. Do you know God's heart? Read John 17. What is his heart burning for? And what is the actual reality of our church life? We are so divided and broken. And listen, our divisions aren't because they've been apostolic and God is sending us here and there always. Sometimes it is. Many times our divisions are plastered over with niceties. But behind the walls are wounds where love has not yet healed. And therefore our prayer has become powerless in a sense. And God's saying, no more. This has been a witchcraft over you, over your region. It's actually happening everywhere in the church. But God's saying, Peoria, Central Illinois, I choose you to unlock this key where love will abound more and more until we are found without offense, until this thing begins to hit the nation and the nations of the earth. Do you want to know what else I found about Peoria? Listen to this. Do you know that, you guys probably know this, but it's new to me. The other word for Peoria was carriers. Carriers. You guys are meant to carry things. Did you know that you're the main traffic, river traffic, from Chicago all the way down to New Orleans? You're the connection into this. You cross. Something happens here that comes through here that goes through the nation. Your name is Carriers. Do you guys know what I found out too? That the original name was not fully certain. They didn't fully know the meaning, the certain meaning. But here's what they believed after doing research and study on it, that it was a derivative, that Peoria was a derivation, from a Proto-Algonquin word meaning to dream with the help of the omnipresent one. Did you know that? To dream with the omnipresent one. And I said, Lord, the dream I had with Lou and Dutch and all those guys, I told them this dream, you guys. I said, I told Lou, I told Dutch, I told Will Ford, I said, you guys, we're in a cloud over Peoria, Illinois. And they're like, what's in Peoria, Illinois? I said, there's a house of prayer there, which I believe is what God is going to get to in a second. But I said, you know what that means? You guys, them. So this dream was one for them, but two for you. One, for them, God was saying, you need to come together in strategy for this nation. And what happens in the spirit as you guys come together in strategy for this nation is going to be carried. These guys are going to begin to carry something into the nation that's going to shift the nation. And I believe God's saying, and you, it's time to dream with God. It's time to dream with the omnipresent one. It's time to come together and strategize with the help of the omnipresent. Can I say this? I had another dream. Sorry for all the dreams, but it's lining things up for us. The other dream was, I said, Lou Engel, I said, in the dream, and I believe it's completely tied to the dream I just shared. I said, Lou Engel, you represent outpouring and revival. Dutch Sheets, you represent reformation and national roots. I said, Will Ford, you represent racial reconciliation and justice. And then I said, Damon Thompson, you represent the voice of awakening. I believe God is prophetically shouting, this is not something to take lightly. God's saying, in the spirit, all of these anointings and callings are pregnant over Peoria. I want to begin to send Peoria as carriers into the nation and into the nations. I want to do something here that begins to release awakening, outpouring and revival, racial reconciliation, justice. Man, amen. I'm excited about this. I actually believe this. I really do. We got to go there. We got to just believe this because this is, we're weird anyway. We pray 24 hours a day, you know. I don't. But we're supposed to. No, never. So, here's what I want to do. I know it's time. Here's what we got to do. I believe, and if we can have 10 minutes to pray, is that okay? Can I get the worship guys up? I want to do this. You've heard everything here. I really believe God has a grace and anointing to gain love in this hour. God's saying, how many of you really, are you hearing the Holy Spirit today? I really believe God's saying, I have love to a depth and to a place abounding you know not of yet. There is a more fuller, abounding place of love that I have for you and you must come into. And it is something not to be trite with. It's something to be pursued, to be grabbed hold of. And I want you to receive it. And I feel like Jesus would have us. I'm going to finish with this, and this is what I want to do. I want, after I share this, I want you to come forward, and we are just literally, I want you just to begin to pray. Say, God, fill me with love. Bring my love back for you. Bring my love back. Let me be able to receive love. One time I had a prophet come to me, and he says, Andrew, you can't receive love. I said, I can't? He said, well, you haven't done a good job at receiving love. I said, that's true. It's time to receive God's love. Listen, I've struggled with immorality, lust, things. I can't tell you how often I have beat myself up. I can't tell you how often I have condemned myself, and the enemy's condemned me. But you know who was not condemning me in that process was God. He wasn't driving me away from him. He was calling me forward. Listen, I want to shatter the voice of shame and condemnation, because it will quench you being able to receive what God wants to give. Take it captive right now. I don't care what you came in here with. I don't care what sin you've dealt with or how bad you've blown it. I've blown it so bad in this past year. My words, my thoughts, I mean, I have just blown it. But God is so merciful. And you know what? He's saying, Andrew, I still got more love for you. It's not over. Your love can abound more than it ever has. It's time. It's time to get God's love like we've never had it before. But unless we realize we're deficient, we won't get it. We won't want it. I want you to ask yourself, even before we pray, is, am I deficient in my love? It doesn't mean that you're bad. It doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It just means I realize I need God's love in a measure I've never had before, and I want it again. Or maybe I need the sweet. You know how long it's been since I know this may be a little wordy, and I'm sorry, guys, that I keep going, but I just feel, do you know how long it's been since tears rolled out of my eyes, genuine? And I found tears again. I mean, we don't cry over our cities very often in prayer, but God does. God does. And I'm tired of playing religious games apart from his heart. I don't want to. I don't want to have a prayer meeting. I don't want to have a house of prayer apart from his heart beat. I'd rather just get undone. Lord, wreck us. Wreck us with your love. I mean, our prayer meetings are too pretty, which means I think we're not raw enough. We don't need to manufacture something, but I just, God, mess with our cold hearts. With your hot, fiery love. Break in. Help us to begin to heal where we haven't healed. Where we've been stunted. Where we've been stunted. If you guys want to start playing, go ahead. If we've been stunted, God, come, Lord, come. If we've been stunted in our destiny, stunted in our spiritual growth, our ability to love, our ability to be free, to have peace, to have real joy, or to even believe, where it's been hard for us to believe and have hope. You just come forward even now and just say, yeah, I want to pick up this key that God's offering us right now. Listen, I believe this is a prophetic thing for us as individuals, but also a prophetic thing for the region. So I encourage you to just come up. We're going to open this up right now. Just come up if you feel led. You would say, yeah, that's me. I need love. I need a new measure of love. Honestly, I will lay hands, but you know what? I'm as broken and deficient as anybody else. And so I just asked, I said, Lord, be merciful to just flow through me today, despite me. If you need more, come, just spread out up here. Come on up. And I would love to have just a couple of people And you be honest. You feel like I'm, you know, your leader. You have things that you can really pray and impart for love or forgiveness or whatever. Just even now, just don't look to me. Let's literally set our eyes on the Father. God, bring tears again, Lord.
I just really feel led to share this dream because it helped me so much. And I just want you to know that every one of us are called to intercession. It's not just a gift for certain people, but it's for all of us because it's a part of what comes out of our relationship with the Lord. But the enemy is after your identity so that he can keep you out of the throne room. Because when you're in the throne room, you're powerful, and that's where he wants to bring us and keep us, and that's where we fight from. So, as an intercessor, I was under great attack, just like a lot of us get under attack, because the enemy's not happy, because he knows what's going to happen when we pray, especially for a city. So, in this dream, I remember I was in a building, and there were different levels in this building. And I was walking through it, and all I kept hearing was all these voices of accusation. And they were accusing me all over the place. And then I was being accused of things I didn't do, and I was being accused of things I did do. And I remember as I was being accused and walking through there, I came across a brother, no face, just knew it was a brother. And I said, I would never do this to you. How could you do this to me? And it just kept all these voices and all this condemnation. And I just felt so heavy. All of a sudden, the dream switches and I come out of this building. As I come out of the building, there's a field in front of me. And it's like I'm in the middle of Illinois with all the cornfields. And I see all this white snow. And as I see the white snow, I'm like, I feel refreshed. I see all this white snow and I think, wow. And I touch the snow, and the snow is warm. And I thought, that's weird. Why is the snow warm? And then as I look ahead, I look far ahead, and I see in the sky, it's all blue out, blue sky, sunny. I see right above the clouds, I see it looked like birds. And I thought, oh, there's all kinds, like 15 birds up in the clouds up there. And I kept walking closer, and as I could see further on, I got closer to it, and I thought, they're not birds. They're angels. And then I thought, and so I kept walking closer, and then I realized, wait a minute, them ain't birds and them ain't angels. That's people. And they were ascending. They were ascending right above the clouds there. And I woke up from the dream, and the Lord came and gave me the revelation and first set me free. He told me, he says, I've been in a place, and I think intercessor's been in a place for so long. Yes, there's things we've done, and there's things that we haven't done, but the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us day and night to keep us out of the revelation of Christ's love and his blood. And as soon as we leave that place, we fall from grace, and we end up in self-righteousness. And when we're in self-righteousness, there is no way that we can get free. So that building I was stuck in was a place of condemnation, and I was defending myself. I said, I would never do that to you. So there's self-righteousness in me because I fell from the revelation that Jesus's blood covered me, because the enemy is after us and he wants to take us from the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the cross. Then I walked outside. The scripture says, I have washed your sins as what made you white as snow. So all that was God saying, all of your sins are covered. I have covered it, and you are white as snow before me. And I touched the snow, and he said, the reason he didn't make it cold, because he said his blood shed and his blood is warm. Okay? And then he said, we can't ascend, because God is calling us up. He's calling us up. He's calling us up into the heavenly realm, past the second heaven. He's taking us up higher into the third heavens, because that's where we are seated in Christ. Okay? So he's saying, no, they weren't birds. And yes, angels ascend too. But I am calling, if we can get past this condemnation, we can come out of that and realize that our sins are forgiven, that the blood paid it all, we will ascend and come into our position in Christ and be seated. And that's what where he wants to take all of us.
Amen. So, that's awesome. Amen. We receive, God, your forgiveness and your freedom. Even just, we ascend, Lord, by your grace right now. Just where you have seated us, God, we are there right now. We just thank you, God, for the blood that's washed us and cleansed us. We refuse to take up shame and condemnation, because, God, we bring our sin and lay it before you, before your cross. God, wash us and cover over a multitude of sin. Let's just look to the Father right now. God, would you come, Lord, right now? Would you fill us with love? God, I am deficient in love. I don't know how to love as I ought to. We don't know how to love as we ought to, Lord. We don't want to look any further than you, Jesus, hanging on the cross, bloodied and beaten. And we thank you, God, that you did it for us, free of charge. God, we pray in the same way. We would take up our cross right now, that we would receive the grace to love. I pray, God, in Peoria, Illinois, in us, turn the key of love. Turn it, God. Turn the key. Break the witchcraft. Break the rebellion. Break the disobedience, because we don't flow from love. I'm asking, God, revive us into love, Lord. Bring us into a place of abounding again, God.